You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Jaguars. I'm Tony Wiggins along with Philip Brews. Brews, how was your weekend, man?
It was good. I'm excited to get into this week three of preseason. We're finally going to see some starters, huh?
Yeah, we're going to see some starters, and that's one of the things we wanted to talk about. I don't know yet if we're going to see the gentleman that I want to talk about first, and that is the return of Marquise Lee. Now, I don't know if, Phil, if you know, but Marquise Lee is one of the most delightful people to deal with in that locker room. A couple of years ago, he was voted the most athletic person in that locker room by his teammates. Always got a big bubbly smile on his face. I'm going to tell you the kind of dude he is. A couple of years ago, a DJ friend of mine told me that Marquise lost somebody that was very close to him, that was like a family member. But he was just going about business as usual. And I walked up to him and I told him, look, my buddy, that DJs and promotes, and he's got a pretty hot artist out there right now. In fact, I said, he told me who you lost and what he meant to you, man. I just wanted to come up and tell you, you know, to hang tough and all of this. And he said, thank you, man. And he said, I appreciate it. He didn't even break stride. You couldn't even tell that there was something going on with him when, you know, because of information that I had, I knew that he had lost someone back on the West Coast that was very, very influential with his life. He's the one guy. And I know we always talk about, you know, when I talk about, you know, certain guys, I say, you know, personality and all of that stuff doesn't matter. What matters is that they can play. He's the one guy that you root for because he had a pretty slow start to his career because of injuries when he first got here. And he still maintained that positivity. He still didn't let it get to him. He didn't let all of the things that people were saying about him, and they gave him a nickname called the Albino Tiger. And he was one of the most perplexing stories to figure out because before each and every game, he would be out there running full speed, and people would be like, Marquise, when are you going to play? He says, you tell me. So it's one of those communication things where you would get information that he wanted to play and he was healthy, but then it came from the staff. It's almost as if, well, he's not healthy and your best ability is availability and all of these things. So it really, really got to the point where it was confusing. And then he started to actually play well and be a guy who could get a lot of first downs for you. And just when he got a new contract extension, he comes back and bang, he gets hurt. So you know, hindsight is 20/20. Folks say maybe if he was your number one or number two receiver, he shouldn't have been returning a kick in a preseason game. But you know, injuries can happen at any time during a game with any kind of plays. But you don't know. We don't know whether this means that he's going to be available for the start of the season. I would think it means he is. I would think as long as he doesn't have a setback, that we know who the top six receivers are on this team. I contend that since we haven't seen much of Terrell Pryor, that I think he's already here. Of course, Conley and Westbrook are two starters. I think it's going to be Terrell Pryor or Marquise Lee to be the other third starter. And the other person would be number four on the depth chart. And then the last two would be Keelan Cole and DJ Chark. That's the way I see it right now. That could change. But I think Marquise Lee coming back at this point is a good addition for this football team, especially with his skill set. He has a certain skill set where he can play any of those receiver positions. And he's just another veteran who knows how to get open and catch balls. And I think he's going to be a guy that benefits from the fact that they have a very good passer now as opposed to before.
Yeah, and for the longest time, it was a lot of soft tissue stuff for Marquise, and that seemed to be really frustrating him. And instead of letting that get him down, what he did is he went to the team nutritionist, and he went to, you know, some running coaches, and really worked on his craft and be able to get his body healthier quicker and be able to withstand the rigors of, you know, training camp, preseason, so he could become more available. And the fact that he missed so much time early on in his career, and the team still decided to extend him and give him that extension really says a lot, because you know how big availability is for this regime and for Doug Marrone. So that just shows you how highly they think of this guy in the locker room, his competitive toughness. And look, if it takes him a couple weeks to get back to his, you know, usual self, if he even gets back to his usual self in that regard, at least they know they're going to get this. At least they know he's going to run the right route, and at least they know he's going to run block wherever they put him. So that's a huge benefit for the Jags.
It is a huge benefit for him. We have a dress rehearsal game, folks. We're going to see some starters come Thursday. So coming up in the next segment, Phil and I are going to discuss what it's going to be like to actually see the real deal on the field. We'll talk about that on Locked On Jaguars.
So I know, let's talk about six, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about six.
All right, guys, she might be thinking that Jaguars football is going through your mind, but I know better. I know what you're really thinking about. You're thinking about sex. Remember the days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You could take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. This isn't just for guys who cannot perform. It's for any guy who wants that little extra to enhance their performance in the bedroom. And Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the U.S., and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring our podcast.
Fantasy football, my drafts this week. I don't know about you guys, if you've already drafted or you plan on it, but if you have or you haven't, make sure you're listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. We got Vinny Iyer. Vinny's been doing this for over 20 years. So don't be listening to the same stuff as everybody else. Everybody's got Matt Barry on ESPN tuned in and all that. Make sure you give yourself a little bit of a competitive advantage, kind of like maybe Doug Marrone has been giving a competitive advantage of not playing the starters or showing anything on the offense wig.
Yeah, he has done that, and you're right. Getting back to fantasy real quick, my draft is this weekend. However, I won't be at the live draft. I'm gonna have to do mine over the telephone, but I know who I'm aiming for, man.
I can see you faxing the picks in.
Yeah, I'm gonna do mine over telephone. I know who I'm aiming for, and they should all be there. I'm actually going to get guys that I want, not just based on who's there, and I'm not gonna be tripped up. So hopefully this will be a good time. I'm trying to go wire to wire this year. Wire to wire. No losses. We'll see what happens. The Jaguars so far have gone wire to wire with backups playing in the preseason, much to the chagrin of a lot of fans. People are tired of that, man. They want to see these guys. You know, when you say you want football to come back, I wondered how long it would take for you Jaguar fans out there to get sick of preseason, especially when you haven't seen the starters. So the starters are going to come back this week. It's going to be more of a dress rehearsal. And when people say dress rehearsal now, that doesn't mean they're going to open up the playbook. What it does mean is this is the players who haven't played together. This is how they're going to do things on game day, and this is how they're going to – you're going to see the lineups. Whatever you see, that's who right now is going to be that's who right now is going to be the ones who won these jobs. And what I mean is the right guard position is first. AJ Cann, Will Richardson. I got a strange feeling they're going to run Will Richardson out at right guard. And if they do, I don't necessarily have a problem with it, because it seems like when you go to practice, they're using Cann as more of a swing player. And that's also a good thing. In case Brandon Linder goes down, they'll have a better option than Tyler Shadley. they'll use A.J. Cann in that position. I think A.J. Cann can play any of the three positions on the interior of the line. But I think they're going to go with Will Richardson. And is this a little bit of the Taven Bryan situation where you drafted a guy so you want to force it? No, but I do think it's having confidence in the guy that you picked. And I think it's also a sign that, you know, the optics for him to play over A.J. Cann are bigger, even though Cann was a third-round pick. He was a fourth-round pick. It doesn't matter. He's taller. A.J. Cann's barely 6'3", and is a little bit of a he's a little bit of a soda machine. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Will Richardson is more of a longer, bigger athlete, and I really think they wanted him to win the job. Now, to his credit, and I can't say this for everyone else, to his credit, he's actually turned the corner, and you can see the improvement in his confidence. His body looks a little bit different than it did last year. The way he moves and the way he goes about his business looks a little bit better. So for me, that's the one spot where you're going to see what this organization thinks. And I could be wrong. They could run Cann out there, but I actually think you're going to actually see who they think should be where on the offensive line.
Yeah, I went back and actually watched the game yesterday and just watched Will Richardson the whole time on offense. And he played very, very well. I thought he did a great job. And that was at left guard. So we'll see how he does at right guard. But since he played his whole collegiate career on the right side, you would think that right guard would be even better than left guard when he comes in and does some of that stuff. But I'm really encouraged by what I saw from Will Richardson. And I don't think anybody should be surprised that he didn't really play much last year or struggled last year, because the moment that they took him in the draft, Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell immediately said, like, look, there's some strength concerns, upper body and stuff like that. So I think the plan was always realistically to just take a redshirt year and get him stronger and more functionally strong up top, and his endurance and stamina and his ability to play an entire game. I think that's a big reason why they kept him in so long. I think he was in all the way until the fourth quarter playing. And I think it's because they just want to get his conditioning up, his stamina up, because if he does win the starting job, he's going to have to play like 65, you know, 70 plays some games. So that's going to be really crucial for Will Richardson. And I agree with you. I do think he'll be the one that's ultimately lining up at that right guard spot. And these guys need to start getting together and start gelling. So I'm excited to see Cam Robinson and Andrew Norwell and Brandon Linder hopefully play this week. I'm not sure about Cam, but they need to start getting that chemistry together. Jawan Taylor as well.
We always used to mention these C's when I was on radio. Chemistry, consistency, cohesion, all of these things. There isn't one group. I think if you go offensive line and secondary, well, you have to move harmoniously. I mean, there's just with the way that these schemes are and the way that these the passing game is, you have to know where the other guy is going to be and trust that he's going to do what he's going to do, because now you got to do your job. And nothing worse than seeing a confusion on the offensive line about who to block, and then your quarterback gets blown up. You actually saw that the Jaguars, Dayton Jones should have been blocked by the right tackle of the Philadelphia Eagles. He wasn't, and he hit Cody Kessler and knocked him out of the game the other day. So you saw that then, and then there's nothing. The only thing maybe worse than that is a busted coverage, and then guys are pointing at each other saying, you know, with the shoulder shrug. So those are the two areas where things have to – I think the secondary is going to be fine, by the way. It's going to be good to see 20 and 21 out there along with those young safeties, and then DJ Hayden in the slot. I really do think that that's obviously – Jalen, I believe, is the best player on the team, with Calais being a close second. But I honestly believe that the secondary isn't – especially with these young guys, the way that they play in the absence of all of those starters, this is the most competitive the deepest part of this football team, so I'm not too much concerned about them. I do want to see the defensive line rotation. I do want to see at what point do they bring in Josh Allen. If they're able to get short down and distance situations on long down and distance situations on second and third down, do they bring him in right away? And how does that look? Do they, you know, I think when folks sit and talk about who's going to play, I believe Josh Allen's snaps will go up and Avery Jones' snaps comes down. that's what I think is going to happen. You know, we think it's a position by position switch sometimes. It's not necessarily the case. I think this team is going to see a lot of Josh Allen and Ngakoue on the outside with Calais Campbell and Marcel Darius inside. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. And I think that's going to be kind of that nickel pass rush package that you're going to see most of the time. And then Taven will spell in wherever needed to give Calais a breather here and there, because he can't play every snap, right? He can't play, you know, base downs on left end and move in three technique and not get any rest or anything like that. That's why they were so excited, I think, about Taven Bryan potentially taking the next step in his development. Meanwhile, his jockstrap is still somewhere on the 30-yard line at TIA Bank Field, Wig, as you pointed out. I need to see a lot more from him, to be honest. And, you know, I was watching the Chargers game yesterday. Jerry Tillery, their first-round pick, three technique.
I saw him.
Just blew past everyone. And that's what you want to see at some point, yeah, right? Not every play, but I mean, it took him his first preseason game to do that, and we're kind of still waiting for that wow play from Taven Bryan. Do you agree?
Yeah, of course we are, and it's going to be harder to come by now because, well, now you're going to get the team, at least in the third preseason game, and Miami isn't great on the offensive line, but you're still going to get their starters as opposed to playing against the other team's second and third string, and that's exactly what happened to him the other day. It's going to be harder and harder for him to show those flash plays now because, guess what? You're playing against better competition. I tell you what, let's push this to the other side a little bit because we want to talk about some of those other things that we expect to see and some of the things that, you know, will still be questions as we head into the season for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's week three. It's Miami. It's actually a real game involving the real players for the Jacksonville Jaguars going out on the field early. We'll talk about it on the other side.
And the Locked On networks keep on rolling. We talked about Locked On Fantasy Football. We now have Locked On NFL. We got Matt Williamson, who is a former NFL scout. We have Brian Peacock. They're going to take you through the entire NFL. There's a lot of news going on right now between, you know, what Andrew Luck's injury, whether it's Antonio Brown taking his helmet and going home. Make sure you guys are keeping apprised of everything going on around the NFL with Locked On NFL.
All right, man. Week three, it's time to see the real deal. Here's what the Jaguars will be different at this year, hopefully, if they're successful. In the past, I've told you that I thought teams wouldn't take a lot of chances on offense, with the exception, of course, the Chargers with Phillip Rivers and Mahomes was aggressive, obviously, and Roethlisberger in a couple of games, where you know those teams kind of played into the strength of the Jaguars. They ran right into the teeth of the defense, which was testing the passing game. Tom Brady did it early last year, and the Jaguars got after him. Throwing the ball at those corners where the Jaguars really, really have a situation where any tip ball, any ball that's an errant throw can be picked off. And the defense did a good job of in 2017 and in the first three games of 2018, the defense did a really, really good job of manufacturing scoring opportunities or even in a lot of cases points as they were able to get teams to play into their strengths. But it's going to be more important this year because I believe what's going to happen is the Jaguars aren't going to be grinders. They're going to actually be innovative in the passing game, and they're going to score points. And when they score points early, guess what? That means you have to come out of your comfort zone when you play against them. So for me, what I believe is going to happen is the Jaguars are going to put pressure on the other team by actually being the team that actually scores points in the first quarter. And when you can score points in the first quarter, and that's what we were talking about when we were talking about the packages and the nickel. You know, nickel doesn't necessarily work if you can't stop the run, because if you can't stop the run and people can have these 7-8 minute drives, you don't have an opportunity to be in nickel very often. So it's going to be pivotal and key that on first down, they are able to make some plays to create long down and distance situations for this team to be successful. And we'll see if they can get started with that. It should be a problem this week because, you know, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick and it's Josh Rosen. It's an offensive line in Miami that still isn't where it wants to be. I'm not sure that they have a whole bunch of dangerous wide receivers and tight end play. So this should be the type of game where Jacksonville is actually able to show what type of team they want to be and what type of team they can be to be successful.
Yeah, and I've been watching. I've watched both Miami games so far, and the interior offensive line is very green and inexperienced. They have Michael Dieter playing left guard, who is a rookie.
I like.
Yeah,
I like
draft pick for him, but you know he's still a rookie, still trying to get his feet down underneath him. Daniel Kilgore is an NFL veteran who's been in the league for quite some time, but he's not anybody you know you would break the bank for in free agency. He's just kind of a solid vet at this point. And then at right guard, they have actually a rookie starting, Deion Calhoun from Mississippi State, who I really liked in the draft process. For some reason, did not get picked up. He reminded me a lot of Shaq Mason Wig, kind of that, mm-hmm. that smaller guy, a little bit athletic, but could kind of maul and move people in the run game. So, listen, we talked about Taven Bryan earlier. This is the week he needs to show it. You got two rookies at guard playing. You need to, you know, be able to create some penetration and some push. I have a question for you, and I didn't think of it until just now, listening to you. You were talking about the nickel packages and how this defensive line should be licking their chops when they get Calais Campbell inside and Josh Allen unique and Marcel. That's some pretty good pass rushers going after the quarterback. How about the flip side? How about against obvious running situations? You get Calais Campbell at left end, who's one of the best run defenders in the league. Avery Jones is a stout nose tackle, requires two people to block. Marcel Darius as well, if you put them at the three technique. Now, will we see a decrease in reps for Yannick Ngakoue, who has had this label of not being a great run defender, with Josh Allen in town? Maybe Josh Allen will be able to take over on some of those downs as that other edge defender against the run opposite Calais.
I'll tell you what, if that's what you see, what you're going to see is a lot of play action. You're going to see a lot. I'd lick my chops if 91 wasn't on the field and I'm the other coach. And as good as Josh Allen is right now, Josh Allen is still a rookie, especially in games where you're going to go up against, let's just say you're playing the Eagles and it's Jason Peters. You ain't going to be, a rookie ain't going to beat Jason Peters. You know, I would doubt if a rookie ever gets a chance to beat Jason Peters or Trent Williams, or if you're playing Dallas and it's Tyron Smith. You don't know enough tricks as a rookie yet. Josh Allen still has to get to that point where he understands that second move. And you don't, when you play great, Taylor Lewan is a very good player who's going to come back. Now, you might be able to get away with it against Houston. You might be able to get away with it a little bit against the Colts. But for me, 91 is an every down player. And I know folks talk about Jan and the run as if he, you know, I think that's being nitpicky when you're looking at numbers about him against the run. Brian Baldinger broke it down. He had some plays against the run last year, especially against one game in particular against the Colts on the goal line, in the game where the Jaguars weren't scoring any points and they shut out the Colts. The Colts could have scored and Jan tore it all up because of his instincts. So I don't necessarily – I think it's being nitpicky. It's, like I said before, it's the same thing that people say about Clowney. Well, why did you pay Jadeveon Clowney when – he's a great run defender, but he doesn't really get sacks. But he rushes the passer. He affects the passing game. Jan isn't a weakness against the run, in my opinion. It's just not his strength. That's the difference. But remember, quarterback come out of the huddle and see a guy that can get 12 to 15 sacks not on the field. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to go play action. They're going to go play action, or they may run stuff at Josh Allen that he may have never seen. So, I think Ngakoue has to be out there, and then I think you have to – when you put Josh Allen in the game, it's Avery Jones that's coming out. I don't think you sacrifice much in the running game when you do that, even though Avery – I think Avery's been a real, real good player and a glue guy for this team. When you move Marcel Darius over and then you have Calais at three technique, you're not losing very much in the running game. If you're losing anything, it's when you – when you move Calais from left end, that's when you're losing something. So, and this isn't bash Josh Allen, bash Josh Allen segment. As much as what it is he's a rookie. And we've seen guys, we can't expect him to know all the tricks. He can get away with a lot of stuff right now, physically and through his work ethic and all of that stuff. But he's still a rookie in a league where grown men will make you look dumb and make you look stupid. And it'll be something that you learn from. That's going to be the key with him. How quickly does he learn from these things? Because they're going to happen. He's going to get tricked. He's going to get fooled. We saw a guy here before who never really learned from it. in Dante Fowler. He's still getting fooled by the same things, by the way, the 4 years later. Dante Fowler still, you see, you watch them sometimes. After that first move, if he doesn't get it, it ain't going to get done. I think Allen's different. I saw him, there was memes of him throwing a 6'9", 346-pound guy around like a rag doll the other night against Philly. And I think that's a lot of what you're going to see. He looks like Myles Garrett. I don't think he's quite Myles Garrett, though. Myles Garrett, his physical ability overcame a lot of rookie mistakes quite fast for him last year. I don't think he'll have that kind of impact, but I do believe you're best when you have number 91 on the field.
Very valid. Speaking of Houston, Bill O'Brien has named Matt Khalil the starting left tackle for the Houston Texans this year. Hence, RIP to Deshaun Watson. It was great watching you play. We enjoyed it. But once Jacksonville rolls into town there with Josh Allen, Calais Campbell, and Unique Ngakoue, that is such a mismatch, Wig, with the offensive and defensive line where, I mean, they could really steal both games from Houston this year, in my opinion.
I'm not upset because it bodes well for the Jaguars, but I'm still bewildered how a professional NFL franchise can go into a draft and not even attempt to address. Well, they did. They drafted a kid out of a small school, but they didn't do it competently. They should have moved up and took Dillard, man. I don't know. Maybe they thought Philly wasn't going to take him because Philly has a...
Yeah, Philly moved ahead of them, if I remember correctly. So they thought Dillard was going to fall in their lap. But guess who else was there? Juwan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it all comes out. And that's probably the one guy, Wig, this week that I want to see the most, Juwan Taylor. I hope he starts.
Yeah, let's see. Hopefully he's healthy, and we'll see what happens. But... a lot of things are going to be told come Thursday night. We'll review some more of it as the week goes on, man. Since the season started, we're going to be dropping show after show after show. So we don't need to get it all in on a Monday. You guys enjoy this, and me and Phil will be back, right back with you on tomorrow. For Locked On Jaguars, Philip Bruce, Tony Wiggins.